Welcome to this episode of Mysterious Studies. And in this episode, I want to talk about energy. Energy. What a large concept. And let's start with the notion that energy is real. Well, obviously. We know that there exists energy. We use it to be able to function, like in our bodies. We have energy that we need to use, or it runs out and we need to rest. And in a similar manner, our machines, they also use energy, or electricity, well, different kinds of energy to function. And plants, they get energy from the sunshine, from the water, from the nutrients in the soil. But let's step back a bit from the realms of biology, chemistry, from these material sciences. Or maybe actually this is also connected to those realms, like everything is connected to everything. But I digress. What I want to talk about is the kind of energy that we can just feel and sense. That discrete frequency of a room, the vibe of a room, of a place, of a person, or even an object, like this pen that I've been using for writing and that I can feel has that energy of those moments when I've been writing. What I felt, maybe someone else would feel something different when they touch it, or could feel that, I don't know. But this kind of energy, this perspective of the reality of vibe or energy connected to our object was not seen as real when I was growing up. And that's why I have to start this whole thing with these words, energy is real, mostly for myself, to allow myself to create this space where I can talk about it as real, where I can allow myself to discuss energy, because I tell myself that I'm not weird. I still have those voices in me that's like, what are you doing? Focus on something that's like real, that you can grasp. But that's not the purpose of Mysterious Studies. This is a place to talk about the things that I can't grasp, but I still feel. I know that today, these days, those kinds of places exist more broadly, where we can talk about these things. And maybe they even existed back then, earlier, they did, but I didn't find them until later. In either case, for the longest of time, I felt like there was something wrong with me, because I sensed energies that other people didn't seem to be aware of. Or maybe that they were better at pushing down or hiding or suppressing, that they didn't let themselves acknowledge or feel. I don't know. A pretty mundane example was when I was talking to someone and I was feeling like there were multiple levels of interaction taking place, more than just a conversation. And there was one level where they were making sounds and speaking words, where we were like in this give and take kind of interaction. And then there was a level where I felt an energy, where whether I felt it from them or I simply projected it from myself based on what I felt about them, I don't really know. Probably it's some kind of a combination. Because we were both bringing our energy into the exchange. And on that level, there were also these all kinds of needs that people have when they engage in interaction with one another. They need to be seen or heard. Or maybe someone doesn't want to be seen and they want the other person to take all the space so they can hide. Or someone really is drained and wants to get energy through the interaction. Whatever it was there and I couldn't ignore it. I would try to just focus on the words, just focus on the words, because that's what I've been taught to do. That's the reality. That's concrete. You know, well, words are sound waves, but they were expressed out, so they were real. But ignoring that whole other dimension of the energy meant that I had to use a lot of my own energy to suppress it. And this resulted in social interaction feeling very exhausting, very overwhelming at times. I noticed that this was mostly the case with people who seemed to harbor a lot of some kind of dissonance in themselves, meaning that I could feel that their energy was not corresponding with, was not consistent with the words that they were saying. For example, like if you imagine someone saying that, oh, I really love to go hiking and I'm gonna go hiking with my friend again. And then you feel an energy of like, ah, boredom, fatigue, why do I have to go hiking? Well, they're like, yeah, I like hiking, or weird example. But then it's hard to just focus only on the words and believe them when you can feel that energy. And it's hard to take the words for a truth. But maybe they are, in a sense, true, since the person seems to believe them, but still they are out of alignment with that energy that's underlying it. So I have some notes here. That's what I'm doing, scrolling my notes. Over time, I learned to simply ignore this. Well, it was not simple, but I learned to somewhat ignore these hidden energetic levels. Because I learned the hard way that it was far easier to play along with whatever a person seemed to be conscious of and that they lived their truth on the surface level than to try and confront these deeper energetic levels and bring up what they were actually feeling. Because if you're not conscious of it, you don't know about it. I understand it, I mean. And then I decided it wasn't really my business anyway. I didn't need to go there. And then the most polite thing was to stay on the same level as the person was on. And to be honest, I was also a person who had dissonances within myself for most of my life, and I didn't know, because I was living in a very surface level, a conscious level, and I didn't look deeper. I wasn't taught that I could do that or how to do that, but it wasn't like encouraged either. And I think I lived within a bubble of my own making, a bit more of a surface conscious bubble, because I had some traumatic experiences, and for many years after that I just couldn't go there. I needed to just go on, and something was processing deep inside of me all the time, but I wasn't consciously aware. So I had a lot of dissonance in me. I couldn't go deeper in until the time was right. So I have a lot of respect for people who also are living in a bubble or in a conscious place where they don't want to look deeper. They don't need to. You feel it if you feel called to. If you are pulled there and you want to do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't need to. There are different ways we can live our life. But if you're here listening to this, I can guess that you're a person who wants to at least look a little curious, looking a little bit. So let's continue. Even today, even if I've tried to go much deeper in, I still have my blind spots, and we all have them. Things that we're unconscious about, because we have those different layers or levels, and we all have it to some extent, I believe. And that's just how consciousness works. There are the conscious and subconscious and unconscious levels. But I think I'm gonna talk more about that another time, and now I want to focus on energy. So my turning point, kind of, when it comes to energy was when I was working as a teacher, because I met so many people the whole day, different people, students and colleagues every day. And at some point I felt like I was on the verge of a burnout from all the energy, from all of these people. It's not that I didn't have a problem with working. I like enjoy being busy and working, but just taking in all of that energy the whole day was exhausting. And I started seeing a behavioral therapist through my work that I could discuss these experiences with, and it helped to some extent. But then actually that was also just another person added on top of the other people whose energies I was taking in. So that also added to the problem, because what I really needed was to learn how to let go of these energies, how to release them and come back to just being in myself and my own energy, so I could kind of center in myself, connect back to myself, so I wasn't just a jumble and of everyone else's energy, which I think I was for most of my life. So when I came home from work in those times, I just felt myself overflowing with all these different energies from the people I met over the day, and I didn't almost know what to do with myself. And it's in that state, it's easy to go into different behaviors of escapism when you don't know how to process feelings or energies. You want to just escape into something else, and for me it was like stories, TV shows or video games, this kind of thing. Yeah. So then when I started this whole exploration that, oh, what if magic is real, or what if energies are real? What if there are some tools or skills I could learn? And I learned it first through these witch books that talk a lot about energy. It's like, okay, well, I'm skeptical. I'm a educated person. I'm rational. But maybe I'll just look into it a bit for fun. And then that really made a huge difference when I learned that I could work with energy. So what jumped out at me from these works, these books, was the acknowledgement of energy as something real, something that I had been denying my whole life but was very concretely affected by. So through these books I started experimenting with doing clearing, grounding and centering activities, for example, to center myself in my own energy, to ground myself, to connect to the earth, like you connect these lightning rods into the earth, so that the lightning is kind of neutralized, the energy, the electricity. And oh, I could do that. I didn't know I could do that. And when I started doing these things after my workday, the difference was huge. To my surprise, because I was a skeptic. And I was really skeptical. And I had to be, to keep my ego, like, no, I'm not like that, I'm not like a weirdo or a woo person. But actually, it wasn't a great surprise that these things worked, because I had felt these energies being real my whole life, even if I tried to deny it. And they didn't go away with me trying to just suppress them, push them down without actually like processing. And maybe they were not as real for everyone. Maybe they didn't affect everyone the same way. But since they were real to me, I simply needed to work with them. So when I started doing even very simple clearing activities, I found myself being more in balance and less overwhelmed by others' energies. One example was like when I was in the lunchroom at work and someone entered in who was in a really like angry state or really like emotional state. At previous times, I would just like feel this burst of energy jumping at me like some kind of arrows or sharp sticks or something, and I would have to receive it because they really needed to get that emotional energy out. They needed to express it, and I was there open to receive it. And then now, with the help of just in my mind a simple shielding activity, like I can imagine a shield, like strong as steel, that's just like here around me, and those arrows can't come through that. Maybe they can be eaten up by this. The shield changes into some kind of a fluid thing that's just like eating them and neutralizing them, and I'm inside. That's how it felt. It's like this thing that's just in my imagination and it's not real. But it was real because I could be in the room without becoming overwhelmed by that emotion. I want to add a little bit about the whole perspective of energies as something separate and different from us, like seeing energies like some kind of monsters who are out to get you and drain your life force. And I'm searching for the way to express it at this point, because you may come into this with very different ideologies or perspectives of the world. And what I am working with and what I have found in my life, in my experience to work, is the view that a lot of the energies that I take in or somehow, or the experiences even, something that happens in my life is often somehow connected to how I'm experiencing myself or the world on my inside. So it's based on a view of the reality, like a kind of a mirror for our own energies, and based on the idea of the holographic universe, where we are part of this hologram, and things that we focus our attention on will also be the things that we will, of course, experience more of, because that's where our attention is. And this whole theme or this whole idea or perspective is something I want to go deeper in a different episode. But it's also necessary to bring it up when we're talking about energy, because that is also what is at play when we're working with energy. We're constantly taking part in this complex and simple interchange or this exchange with us, with me and the world, everything that I experience as being outside of me, this being, this person, this human that I am in this life. So with this, the fact that how you perceive energy will very much affect how you experience energy, and how you experience it, of course, will affect the way that you, what qualities you attach to it. So for example, when I was exhausted in my daily life and feeling that other people's energies were just overwhelming me, filling me, and I had no way to get them out or release, or then I felt energy was something exhausting overall. Other people's energies that I perceived very different from my own. And I experienced this difference between us very strongly because I was annoyed at being exhausted. And then there can be a different perspective that if you are existing in a state of experiencing your connection to everything, like the energy of everyone around you, and you experience some kind of a unity with, you feel that you are connected to the world and everything, maybe you don't feel as exhausted. But we as human beings, it's very seldom that we can stay in that feeling, that state, because we live our lives in these physical forms that are separated from each other. And I struggle with this whole, these different notions of how to talk about energy without making it this scary thing like, oh, you have to learn shielding or clearing or these kinds of techniques, like a bit of a protection magic or something against these evils around you. And that's not really my intention. But at the same time, that's often very necessary to learn these kind of techniques, because we do experience our lives in these separated forms. And then when we experience ourselves this separated, then there is a question of what is my energy. It's important to know what's mine, what's yours, what's the thing I should, what's the thing I want to focus on, and what's the thing that is best for me to leave, to release. So that was maybe a bit of a disclaimer after all of this talk about energy, that, well, I want to go deeper in a different episode, but there's no right or way wrong to experience energy. And what you experience now tells you about what situation you are in now. And if you feel exhausted, it's not like it's your fault either, that, oh, you just don't know any clearing activities. And that's also a very narrow way to see it. And sometimes maybe the better option is to leave an environment and change your situation. And no amount of clearing or grounding or shielding may help, because the root cause is that you are in a situation that is constantly draining or just not right for you and what your energy wants to do. So I wanted to add that comment as a kind of against these ideas that we should use these kinds of tools that is completely only our responsibility, what energies are. And there's a paradox here, because yeah, if your perspective of reality is creating your reality, you are responsible for your reality. But we're also given a life and a situation sometimes that we don't maybe know how we got here. And I'm not gonna go around blaming people. That's just how it is sometimes. And you can work with that, but it doesn't help to assign blame. And that's not what these kinds of tools are meant for, or this talk is meant for. I want to talk about what has been helpful for me and share it. And yeah, please, with the reminder that you can kind of compare it to what you feel would be helpful for you. Feel into that yourself and just experiment with how energy seems to work in your own life currently and what you would like to do. So in ending, I would like to share a few resources that have helped me, that have given me additional perspectives and deepened my view of energy. Why I'm sharing these suggestions for books or resources to look up is mostly because I have access, I have had access to a lot of books and been able to look into them and investigate and explore. And it maybe I see my role a little bit as a mediator or an in-between who has gone through that process and explored those and can now kind of share an overview or bits and pieces that could then inspire someone. Maybe one particular book would be something that another person thinks is, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for, like something like this. And if it doesn't seem interesting to you, that's also fine. You can find your own pathway to understanding from different directions. So I'm going to share a few that I enjoyed, describe a bit why, and they also kind of deepen this discussion about energy with their own flavors, their own perspectives. We can treat different resources, different writers as different lenses or different filters, perspectives that the life is described by their particular perspective. And some will resonate more and others less. Or maybe you will find something in one book and another thing in another. That's very natural. So in this book, Protect Your Light by George Lasos, what I really appreciated was that he introduced this perspective of how actually, like, with energy, that the kind of core essential thing that you can do for maintaining maybe a stronger sense of your own boundaries or your own energy is that you, instead of going around doing a lot of like shielding, protecting from others, which is based on a very fear-based approach. And it makes sense to have a fear-based approach if you are in a situation that you are actually constantly facing danger. So I want to add that there, that it's not like completely right or wrong, but if you don't have that as a necessary element, then maybe it makes sense to have a different approach that's more focused on connecting to your own inner sense of power, to kind of empower yourself, strengthen yourself, your sense of your own energy first. And then you need much less of these shielding activities. And before I found this book, most of the other books that I read had not mentioned this kind of approach at all. It was all focused on, oh, now we create a shield and this is how you protect yourself. And it, in a way, it felt like they were connected to a very fear-based perspective of the world as constantly needing to protect ourselves. And then that might be a world that gets reflected back out. Another thing that this writer shared that was valuable for me was like a perspective of different types of shields. and different types of clearing, and they also use a lot of visualization so that you can imagine different types of, you can imagine like a huge vacuum cleaner that's sucking away your energy, or you can imagine like fire dragons that are burning. And it's just, I appreciate this imaginative approach because I personally have a way of working with energies that is that I can visualize and imagine things, and my imagination is quite vivid. So it worked for me personally, and it might work well for others and less well for some. So that's just a matter of taste. But I enjoyed those things and how it added like different dimensions to this kind of a energy work. And also it does a good job of describing different types of shields and different qualities that you can imagine having a shield that is like steel, that nothing comes through it. But if you have that type of a shield, that might also mean that nothing good can come through and you're hard to reach. And then it can be good to be aware of these things so you can work flexibly with like choosing for one situation, like, oh, now I'm gonna be with my friends and I want to be more like available. My energy is there to discuss and to interact. Then maybe I would have a more like fluid or soft shield. And then when I'm waiting in line to get onto the boat to travel to my home country, then there would be a huge line of people and strangers or all around me, all kinds of energies, and I get overwhelmed. Like, then I could sometimes imagine this kind of impenetrable steel shield and like, nope, I don't need to be in a constant adapting communicative state right now, so I can have a stronger shield for a while. And I appreciated that kind of more flexible perspective. One thing that he also does well is that this is a newer book, so he discusses how you can also do clearing and grounding and different activities for your digital spaces and for tools that we use. That it's kind of, when you think about energy in spaces, you don't usually think about the virtual worlds that we inhabit these days. And if we step away from the notion that only the physical reality, this room that I am physically in within these walls, that only this is real. If we step away from that into considering all the different realities we exist in simultaneously, the virtual worlds, the small portals that we travel through, when we look at our phones or screens, or message someone, and we are connected to that person's energy, or all those people's energy, I believe that, and you get affected. You can notice that you get affected when you're engaging with these things, and information as well. And what this writer describes is different tools for how you can create kind of small visual shields to your social media profile, like some kind of an image that empowers you or brings stability or maybe clears. Or you can do different activities to clear your finger after you're scrolling. It's pretty funny and interesting, but I also found them very useful. There was a visualization exercise where you would close your eyes and imagine you would go in through your social media or community group or something like this, like a virtual group. And you would imagine, how would that feel? How would that place, that virtual space, how would it feel if it were like a real neighborhood or a city? And how do you want it to feel? And then that can also help you to kind of start to notice how you use your energy in different settings and how it gets affected. And of course, if you go around and do this work, then it takes some energy or some time and effort, and it's up to you or it's up to everyone how far they want to go in these things. And I usually keep it pretty simple. I might visualize it once, but not that much more after that. And it maybe has its pros and cons, but over time I more settled into the approach of trying to just connect with myself at the beginning and end of the day and feel how I feel. And if I feel I need to let go, release some energies from the day, I'm gonna do that, and also call back my own energies that I have scattered throughout the day. Then onto a different book that I just happened to find by chance from a secondhand bookstore. And I found it just at the right time when I needed it. So this has a name, Your Aura and Your Chakras, the owner's manual. And I was very skeptical about these things when I first read the book, but I was also in a state of extreme exhaustion and turbulence, a lot of emotional turbulence in my relationship at that time. And then out of curiosity and quite simply out of a desperate need, I thought like, okay, what the hell, I'm gonna try these exercises. And this book has some really good exercises for connecting to your body, your own energy, which is sometimes described as your aura. Is like what your aura is, what is transmitting your energy outwards, and what's kind of your filter between yourself, your being, and the world, and your chakras, your energy centers. Maybe I'll get more into this in another episode, but they are connected to energy very much. And it was a very useful book at that particular time, but it has more of that perspective that I discussed earlier, which is like, oh, you need to protect yourself. You need to like clear, and like it has a lot of that fear kind of behind it, between the lines. And I think it was useful for me at that time because I was in so much turbulence and so exhausted that I really needed to have a resource that was resonating with the state I was in. But it might not resonate with a person who wants a more light approach. So this can go quite deep, and it has a lot of some tools, some ways to kind of release energetic attachment to others if you feel like your energy is getting too kind of stuck with someone else, and you just want to release, but it's hard to do, and there's a lot of emotional complexity. So that was useful in that time, but now I don't really look much at it anymore because I'm in a different place. It's not as relevant today. This is also a bit of an older book, but the kind of basic approaches I found to be very, when I was trying them, they were very, very good, and can powerfully change your connection to your own energy, and helped me to get back to some kind of a core in myself. So this is written by Carla McLaren. Then I have a third and final resource I want to describe as a bit of a different book. It's called Spark Joy by Marie Kondo. I think I also read her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And this is not maybe strictly an energy book, but it is connected to that. And this is for people who want to have a more practical approach and focus on energy when it comes to spaces or your objects and things. Because even though this is a book, it is about tidying. So it's like kind of a manual for helping you to clear out clutter in your home and to organize things in a way that gives you a most joyful home. And yeah, it's still interesting to see how think I learned a lot of very valuable things about energy concerning places and objects from Marie Kondo's books, because they have this, the underlying perspective is that of an animistic view where everything has spirit, and which is probably more widespread in Japan, where she's from, and also I can feel some connection to that from my own Finnish heritage, that there is this feeling that everything is alive, and also the physical objects have their own spiritual or energetic dimensions, so we should connect more with our home, we should feel the energy of our home, and try and help the home feel good by clearing unnecessary clutter, which is also then maybe representing unnecessary or old energies that could help then open up for something new, to have space if you clear out the old things. And that's also very individual if you resonate with that. And she has a very particular way of clearing and cleaning through the physical. And some people might enjoy a bit of a clutter, because that energy is filled with, that clutter has these good memories, and that's very individual. But I wanted to add this perspective to kind of see how works that we don't necessarily see as some kind of as being connected, actually have connections. You can only see them or feel them. And so, yeah, those were the central books I have about energy. And but beyond books, your main resource is you, and you have a capability to feel into energies just in yourself and through yourself. So I would just encourage to experiment and feel in different situations or contexts and so on. And now in the next episode, I'm just going to share a few of my energy clearing and centering and calling back your own energy activities. So I wanted to share them as separate episodes, so that people can then choose, like, if you want to skip them or they want to go back to it and so on. So the next ones will be just exercises. One will be a quick energy clearing and calling back of your energy by just using your breath. Very simple. And the other one will be that you move around with your body and like push out the energies and call back. And for people who want to move around a lot and so on. And then for paid subscribers, I will also add an audio file with a longer energy clearing and grounding meditation that you can then just download the audio file from either my Substack or my Patreon and then listen to in your own time. And then finally, I want to just thank you for being here again, and hope you have gotten something useful or interesting out of this. Maybe some new perspective or just something to consider and feel into. So that's it for this time.